All right, today we are recording for the Chippewa Valley Museum Archive and Journal of Plug Year. Today it is November 25th, and the time is 10:30 a.m. in the United States. Today we are interviewing someone in Eastern Europe. In the United States, the current total cases are 12.7 million and 260,000 deaths. So, would you like to tell us a little bit about yourself, the date and time where you are, and then again the COVID statistics?
At present, it's also the 25th of November, and it is 18:37, or 6 p.m. in U.S. time, U.S. standard of pronouncing time. As for statistics, there is at this point 86,020 active cases and 3,226 deaths.
All right. Where are you, if you'd like to say, in your ethnicity, age, and gender?
I'm from Bulgaria, male, 26.
All right. So I guess what have you been doing with your day-to-day life since COVID started?
Well, same as before, just working, but as of recently from home, because I changed jobs and they allow that.
All right. What's COVID like in your town?
Well, in my hometown where I was until several months ago, it wasn't that intense. There wasn't that many cases. Things were mostly normal. I'm in the capital right now, which is Sofia, in Bulgaria. And it's worse here because, well, half the population is concentrated, half the population of the entire country is concentrated in one city, and of course, that increases the infectability and the cases.
When did you first learn about COVID, and what were your thoughts on it?
I think when, just the first news about Wuhan, China. And I didn't think too much about it. I thought, yeah, I'll keep an eye out. Before that, I worked in around animal farming in a trading company. So pandemics, or epidemics rather, were pretty important because, with the swine flu, the avian influenza, and so on. And I've been keeping track of these things because of business reasons. So I also kept an eye out for this.
All right. What issues concern you the most about COVID?
Well, personally, I think the impact of the small business is the most concerning part because some people may never recover from that.
Yeah. We've seen a lot
And
of
of course,
people.
there is a health concerns,
Of
but
course.
I think the worst impact we've had is just a lot of small businesses going out and being unable to restore themselves.
Well, you said the ne next section where we talk about is employment. You said you recently switched jobs.
Yes.
Did you have to switch your job because of COVID?
No.
Okay. And then yeah, you said you work from home now, so that's how COVID's affected your job. Do you have any concerns about your employment in COVID or the economy?
No.
All right.
The sector I work in is very secure now.
Oh, perfect. All right. Has COVID affected the employment of anybody you know?
Oh, definitely. I've had several friends lose jobs. Some have families, some have infants, and it's very unfortunate.
All right. Would you like to elaborate on that at all?
Yes, because, for example, one guy, he's a security guard at the casino, has a wife, has a child of 1 year, and when they close down the casinos, they just threw them out the door, half the employees.
It's terrible. Yeah, it's not a good way to handle things. Well, moving on to your family and household, has COVID affected your family in any way?
Thankfully, not yet.
Good, good.
And I hope it will remain like that.
I do too. How are you managing like day-to-day activities at home?
Well, I'm used to working out at home, so I'm not really getting out of shape or anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's unfortunate that I can't go out more, but that's just because of the city, because it's a capital city. It's dirty, it's nasty, it's just not pleasant to go out. But I'm managing.
Okay, then let's see. Has COVID, do you know anyone at all who's been infected with COVID?
Not directly, but at work we have quite a few people from my new job who are affected.
All right.
But personally, no.
Personally, all right.
I guess that's still personally.
What are the biggest challenges you've faced during the outbreak so far?
Finding a new job, actually. Because when I started looking for a new job, the hiring just tanked from the bottom. And it took quite a while. It took, I don't know, like 5 or 6 months of job searching to be able to switch.
What did you actually eventually get into, if you don't mind saying?
It's for a tech company, a corporation. Okay. Technical support specialist is a position.
Okay, nice. What have you been doing for fun, like leisure? Are you playing, you know, any video games, watching movies, reading any books?
All sorts of stuff. I have, like, for example, I like to cook, so I've been cooking more. I do my workouts. That's a bit of a hobby as well. I watch stuff. I read stuff. There's plenty to do it these days.
Mm-hmm. What have you been cooking?
Oh, for example, I finally managed to get a traditional clay pot that we use in cooking in Bulgaria.
Okay.
And I've been excited to test it out, make some stuff.
Nice.
Like, for example, we have a dish that is different meats layered with different spices and what's the word in English? Marinated.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And it's a very slow cook. It's a clay pot. You put it in the oven, you cook it for like 4 or 5 hours. And it's very nice.
It actually sounds really good. All right. So I guess you said that the city's been pretty closed down and just overcrowded. So how has COVID affected the community you live in?
Some people think it's a hoax until they get it. Some people think it's real, but it's some kind of scheme or, you know, conspiracy. Some people think, you know, it's just a normal pandemic. Some people think it's not that bad. It's like every single group you can think of. Mm-hmm. There seem to be plenty of people from it. And it's driven us apart a bit. Like, actually, I read an article today in the news that because of the big divide that's going on, there's actually an increase in reported domestic violence.
Oh.
Because of, you know, disagreements on how things are, which is very unfortunate.
All right. What else is it like in the city itself? Just kind of compared to America, you know, what's it like in Bulgaria, I guess?
I've never been to America, but
okay.
I've heard stories. I've seen photos. I suppose it's like any city that's way too big for itself. It's overcrowded, a lot of traffic, a lot of pollution, just all sorts of people, and not in a good way, because, you know, there's people who just came here to make a quick buck, but off of other people, if you catch my drift.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for the job, I wouldn't live here.
Okay. Where would you want to go?
Back home.
Oh, yeah, place. Back to your city, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. Do you participate in any like form of community activities, like a school, clubs, a church?
No, not really. I only participate in, we have these like volunteer drives concerning nature, like planting trees, cleaning up and so on. But there haven't been any in recent months because of the infection.
Of course. Yeah, that makes sense. How are the people in the city itself react? You said a lot of them have a lot of opinions, but are people wearing masks? Are they following protocol of any kind?
Most are wearing masks. Some are wearing masks, but pointless, like over the mouth, but not the nose.
Okay. You
know, it all goes in the lungs and out the lungs, so not much point there.
Yeah.
But they don't go militantly against it, like I've seen in America, for example.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's
you
good.
You got a very opinionated people there.
We got a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
Well, have you seen people around you change their opinions or just change at all because of the virus and their personality or mood?
Oh, yeah, definitely. As I mentioned, I had colleagues that were saying that it doesn't exist, there's no such thing. And we go on a corporate meeting and they say, wow, it's real. I can't taste anything. I can't smell anything. I feel terrible. And it's unlike anything I've ever had before. There's people who have gotten very paranoid, like to the point where it's unhealthy. Like, some healthy paranoia is okay, you know, in daily life, but they're just going way over the top.
How so?
Well, for example, just being so stressed out about it that it's actually going to affect them in a negative way, health-wise.
Oh, okay.
Like losing sleep over it, being constantly anxious. That's bound to lead to some disease. Stress is a big factor.
That's interesting. Well, you said you're at home and working from home. So are you doing self-isolation intentionally or just because you have to?
It's circumstantial.
Okay.
I go out to shop and so on when I need to. But there is just not much to do around here. So I just stay at home.
Makes sense.
And it's also very cold.
What's the temperature right now?
Oh, it's in the negatives.
Okay. So you say you haven't known anyone personally who's gotten sick. You said your corporate office was talking about it, so I guess tell us a little bit about that, or a little bit more about that.
Well, we were working from the office at first, but when we started getting cases in another department, they closed us down, sent us home, and in a week or two, the month following, we found out just how many people were infected. But thankfully, it didn't reach our division, so we're still fine.
That's good.
Office is pretty much closed down at this point. Even IT, well, the tech support for the tech support, even they are pretty much closed down.
Oh, dang. Okay. Well, let's continue on to some other questions. We do have to record for about 40 minutes, and we are at 11. So,
all right.
Let's keep going. Well, what's your primary source of news during the pandemic?
Oh, I like to diversify my news sources when possible. I use we have the national Bulgarian, there's a radio, there's a television channel, which also have a website, and they're mostly unbiased in their news. I like to hear what's going on from other people, but you know, with a grain of salt. I see what's on the international news, just everywhere I can hear anything and piece together what's going on.
All right. Do you use any internet sources or look at sources for other countries?
Yeah, like sometimes I'll browse all the big ones, you know, Guardian, CNN, BBC, whatever, you know, the big ones.
Mm-hmm. Well, have any of your sources changed during the pandemic? Have you lost trust in any sources that you used to follow?
Well, I've mostly been sticking to the Bulgarian national one, and still it's going pretty well. Like, they say things as they are, short and simple. Like, for example, we had what do you call it? Yeah, we have this team, if you could call it, that handles the pandemic.
Okay.
And they gather and talk and make decisions and ask the public and so on. And the reports on their, you know, meetings and decisions are actually pretty well written. Like, if they're planning to do something, if they're considering, if they're actually doing, because Bulgarian media has just a lot of, like, I hesitate to use the word because it's been used to discredit news sources before, but it's literally alarmist kind of news. Like, oh, they're shutting down the entire country. And it's like, no, they're just considering, you know, closing down malls.
Okay.
And yeah, they're still doing a pretty good job, even with the whole political unrest going on and so on.
Of course. Do you have any idea what the name of the team is?
I'm not exactly sure. It keeps changing. Like, it's just consider the committee of sorts.
Oh, okay.
We usually have a general, a military general, head the team during the first wave of the pandemic. Now it's more, it's just a combination of people who know different things about the situation. Like, we have doctors, we have people in the businesses, we have, you know, a general who can coordinate all of them and such. It's a pretty good team.
Yeah, no, that actually sounds really interesting. Do you think there's any issues, media? Well, you see, honestly, it sounds like your national news source is really good. Because the next question is, do you think there are any important issues that the media is just refusing to refusing to go over or just ignoring?
Oh, definitely, but they're not related to the virus. It's mostly our political stuff.
Of course.
That's a good job to get in a grave.
Yeah. Well, the next questions will work for that because they're all about government. Well, let's start small. Do you think local leaders, maybe let's go back to your hometown for this one at first. How do you think they were handling the pandemic back when you were there?
Well, we've never handled a pandemic before, so it was at first pretty chaotic. This was the main problem with the team that was assembled, that they would make a decision, then reverse it, just stumble a lot in the beginning. And this was the case for local leadership, for national leadership. Everyone just didn't know how to react, how bad it was going to be. It's an unprecedented situation. I mean, we haven't had a pandemic here pretty much ever. Like, during the wars, we had a few outbreaks of cholera and so on, but nothing on this scale, like global.
So actually, do you know what Bulgaria's situation was back in when we had the 1919 pandemic?
I think we weren't impacted that badly, but I can't be sure. I haven't really done much research into it.
That's okay.
But because we didn't have that much traffic with the Western side of the world, I'm guessing it wasn't that bad.
All right. Makes sense.
But, you know, or if it was unreported because we were still, you know, setting up back as a country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess, because you don't have states, do you think, how do you think then the federal government has been handling COVID, other than the news source? Because it seems like your government is actually pretty, given they have a military general within the national news, we don't have anything like that, so.
Not the news, the team that's handling the pandemic.
Okay, yeah, the team, sorry. And the news is covering that.
Yeah.
Well, I guess how else is the federal government handling things? If you
a federal want government to talk as about, in your...
Your government, your national government.
Well, they're trying, I suppose. But we're a very fragile country at this point in time. And there's no really good decision to be made. It's lose-lose most of the time.
All right.
It's like they don't really commit to any plan of action or any strategy. They seem to go back and forth a lot.
Could you tell us more about why things are so fragile over there?
Oh, because we are a very small state on a very important location with history with both the West and the East.
Mm-hmm.
You know how that goes.
Oh, yeah. I guess why is it important? Like, is it strategic, or are there resources there?
Oh, it's a very popular trade route.
Ah.
Like, all the trucks pass through here, through the Bosphorus, into Turkey, from Turkey to here. The Bosphorus is nearby. We have access to the Black Sea, which is close to Crimea, you know.
That
and
location.
We are the first wave with Greece that sort of separates the Arabian nations from Europe.
Mm.
You know, the refugee crisis, that's, we are the route. We, Greece, and, you know, Gibraltar and so on,
mm-hmm.
Italy.
Yep. I guess, has the refugee crisis, how has that been affected by COVID?
We actually don't have a refugee crisis. We had a very short one when they arrived here. They saw that we don't have enough money to support our own people, let alone them, so they left for Western Europe. So we never really had a refugee crisis. We had a few incidents, but they were handled, like, within a day.
Okay.
Week.
Well, you mentioned, so, one second, let me check something. I guess how do you think the European Union is handling things then?
I haven't really cared much to read about how the Western European countries are doing things, but I know England's not doing too hot.
Nope.
Italy was a bit late on the jump, maybe not the first wave.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest, well, I know there's a protest in Berlin about the measures they're taking for the virus. So I guess they're not doing too great if the numbers keep increasing.
Mm-hmm.
And if there are protests and such.
Of course. Let's see. So how much... Oh, go on, please.
I said at least the businesses are probably more taken care of than over here. Like, I don't think France or Germany are going to just drop all the businesses like we are doing.
What do you mean by just drop all, like, just the public in general, or government?
The government. There is a system to support the pay, but it's only like 40 or 60% or something like that. And it's only for certain companies. Like the smallest owners who don't have employees, just they own the business, they can't receive that aid that I know anyone has received that aid to pay themselves a salary. Because, you
okay,
know,
what's
related to them as a profit.
What are the requirements then?
I'm not sure. I'm not a business owner, so I haven't really looked into it. But I do know that a lot of small buildings, it's not like in some other places where it's mostly big businesses. There is a lot of small businesses in Bulgaria. It's a very large part of the economic sphere. Like tiny corner shops. We have small hair salons. We have just cobblers. We have all sorts of stuff, like small hardware shops all over. Just stands that make, you know, a living selling newspapers or nuts or, you know, sunflower seeds or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And those people are not handling the pandemic very well, especially the cafes and such.
All right, yeah. I wish the government would be doing more then. I guess linked to that, how badly has the economy been affected as a whole?
Well, we can't really tell because it's always been on the brink. But I know that the coffers are going empty. Like, we have a free blood test every year as part of our healthcare. And I went to get it September, I think. Yeah, September, I went to get mine. And they just said, we don't have the money for it. We can't pay the lab. We're sorry.
Oh.
So we're going pretty deep in the coffers. And we're negative on the trade account. And it's not going well.
All right. I guess would you tell like to tell us a little bit more about the healthcare system over there? You said you get the free blood test. I guess what else is it like?
Well, it's it includes a lot of stuff like dental care. I think you have like two teeth you can get worked per year. Even like expensive scans and such. If you follow, we have what's called a medical path. Like for example, you take the scan, but you also have to stay in the hospital for 3 days. I had a head injury last year, a construction incident, and nothing serious, you know, Brandon, but I still have to get a test. I go there, I, you know, sign all the papers, I follow the path, I go, I get this, I get sent to a room, I stay there for monitoring 3 days, and I pay like, I don't know, like 40 level or something, 100 level tops, instead of several hundred.
Yeah.
It cuts the cost like a lot.
It's yeah.
Actually affordable.
Unlike the United States.
Oh, yeah, I've heard about that. Yeah, we don't have Band-Aids that cost $60 here.
Yeah. Let's see what else we could ask you about. Do you know anyone who has, you said you know somebody with some theories about the virus. Would you like to tell us about those?
Oh boy, like I've heard it all at this point. Bill Gates is trying to kill the human race. What else? There's, you know, the standard, the government wants to chip us and track us, like you don't already have a cell phone. What else? Oh yeah, the masks. Oh boy, the masks. Like, supposedly, wearing a mask is going to shorten your lifespan, kill you, etc., debilitate you in some way. Well, the Japanese have been wearing masks during every sort of sickness or, you know, allergy or whatever for decades, and they still live way longer than you're going to live.
All right. I like that.
It's just really out there.
Yeah. I actually hadn't heard the Bill Gates one. That's an interesting one. Well, have there been any protests in the Capitol or anything at all with the public being unhappy with the government due to the virus?
I'll take your pick. There's a protest every day. There's several protests every day. People have been protesting for like, oh man, I don't know, like 200 days now for different reasons. We had a 168-day protest against the government, I think, but nothing came out of it, of course, because people don't know how to protest. They just stand with signs. There's protests for the masks. There's protests for this, for that. Cab drivers are protesting because apparently, you know, carpooling is evil and is killing their business. We managed to drive out Uber and all that.
Yeah.
2 years ago. And there's protests by mothers of disabled children because of the system and how it works. I don't even know what's going on there. There's a protest about everything at this point.
What do you mean with the system with mothers of disabled children? Is the government? Yeah, as
I said, I don't really know what's going on there. I mean, okay. We do have a big problem with handling disabilities, especially mental ones. Like, we don't have any facilities to take care of these people. I have friends who are in the police force, and it's a standard story. You know, someone gets, you know, rowdy, they get called, they go in, and it's a mentally ill person. And they take them to the only local mental ward, and they say, we're full, we can't take them. they just take them back. They hold them for like a few hours to a day and they let them go because they're mentally ill. They're not criminals.
That's
rinse and repeat every time.
That's really interesting. But also not great. Well, do you think the country is going to change because of pandemic? Like, do you think be some form of transformation within the nation after the virus is over? When it ends? Well,
probably there is going to be the same opportunism I see everywhere, that businesses, larger ones, sometimes buy out the failing smaller ones. That's probably going to happen. There's going to be people who profit from the pandemic, of course. There's opportunism in everything. That's how business works.
Yeah.
But other than that, well, of course, a lot of people are going to be out of a job and they're going to leave the country. But they're already leaving the country, like 150 people per day leave the country.
Oh, really?
Which is a lot when we are like 6.5 million left. So, yeah, probably a lot of people. Like, I moved out. I have been trying to not move out of my hometown for years, but the job opportunities are so bad, I just had to move.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are just going to leave the country as a whole.
Where throughout Europe do they tend to go? Or
anywhere. This is the poorest country on the continent. Anywhere is better than this.
Is it actually?
It's one of the poorest.
Okay.
I think we're on par with Albania and, I don't know, Kosovo maybe, Macedonia. I'm sorry, Northern Macedonia now.
Mm-hmm.
And such. I mostly go to Germany, England. Well, they used to go to England where they were still in the European Union. Not so much now. But yeah, mostly Germany, UK, France sometimes.
All right. Do you know anyone who's left?
Oh, yeah, plenty of people.
Okay.
Plenty of people just didn't even bother trying to stay in the capital or anything. They just left. We have people in France. We had someone in Australia who started a window cleaning business, and it's actually doing pretty good for himself.
All right.
So, all sorts.
Are people leaving less because of COVID? Because does your country have a lockdown? Are you allowed to leave?
We used to have on the first wave when we still didn't know how bad it's going to be. We did lock down all major cities, and you have to have a valid reason or a document to enter or leave. We had cordons on the borders.
Okay.
And that really helped because we had, let me bring up the statistics here. Up until, where's the active cases per month? Up until September, we had 4,000 cases in the entire country. Active.
All right.
But, you know, after that, just like everywhere else, it just skyrocketed. But we didn't manage to survive the first months with barely 1,000.
Cases or deaths?
Cases at all.
Oh, okay. What was it like when the cities were like locked down? Is that a common thing?
No, it's not a common thing. This is the first time it's happened since I'm alive. It wasn't that bad because, you know, if you really had a valid reason to go somewhere, yeah, it's fine. Like, for example, my parents moved out to the countryside until, you know, things are settled. And I would bring them medicine, food, clothes, etc. And I go to the cordon, I open the trunk. Yes, there is food. There is medicine. I have my document that my parents live wherever they live. And they pass me through. I go there. I bring the stuff. I get back. No problem. Or, for example, leaving the city for work. You know, if I have the company card, the company documents, yes, it's fine. It's work. I go. I do my job. I go back. It's mostly people who wanted to go out and get drunk in the woods or something. Or just, you know, get drunk at home. who had problems with the city lockdown. But people who had valid reasons to go somewhere, not a problem.
Mm-hmm. Well, how are, actually, since you just mentioned, how are your parents doing?
They're doing well. My mother had just retired like a few months ago. And she's just staying at home. She's fine. My father's still fine. They have serious enough measures at work.
All right. And they seem to be healthy with the virus and all, no one's infected.
Yeah, they're fine.
Perfect. Is there anything interesting like you'd just like to tell us about Bulgaria as a whole and how, I mean, you covered a lot of topics. I'm just trying to think of anything else to do with the virus that you might want to mention. You're getting close to the end here, but.
Yeah. Well, there's not really much to say. We don't have anything too out of the ordinary here. It's mostly quiet. The people who are discontent don't go around burning radio signal towers like in some other places. Yeah, apparently people are just going around like burning cell phone towers.
Yeah, that was a thing briefly. I remember hearing about it. I don't remember if it was the United States, but
UK actually, I think.
UK, yeah, I knew it was. They thought 5G was causing COVID.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we have that as well.
Or you have 5G, or you have people thinking 5G is causing it.
People thinking 5G is causing that. We have all sorts of things. Like we have a lot of bloggers and pseudo doctors. Like there was someone saying, you know, it's better to use a, what do you call it in English? It's one of these small heater units that just plug in and they blow hot air
through a space heater. Space heater.
Yeah, space heater. That was fine, but air conditioners will kill you, even though it's the same principle, basically.
Why will it kill you?
Because they need the clicks, man. They need the clicks. there's this screenshot I saw of the Daily Mail, and it was like a year apart. One article is that give you diabetes, and a year later that eating eggs will reduce the chance of diabetes. It's the same here. We just have these sources that latch onto anything and write insane stuff, and people believe them for some reason.
Fair enough.
Yeah, we, a lot of just washed up historians and scientists and such who aren't actually, you know, doing anything with their lives or participating in any researches or anything, just go out of the woodwork, write dumb stuff, and still double up.
Yeah. Sounds interesting. Let's see. There's one question we kind of mentioned earlier. You said that you think COVID is definitely affecting people's mental health. Outside of what the virus would do you think it's also affecting physical health, or would you like to talk more about the mental health?
Well, the mental health is really the basis of everything. Like, if your mental isn't stable, everything else is going to follow. Like, I fully believe that it is indeed mind over matter, but not in the mystic way that some people think it is. It's that matter follows the mind. If you don't have, you know, the energy to do the stuff you need to do, you know, cook, clean, work, exercise, take care of your relationships, children, whatever, then yeah, it's going to be a physical effect of that. If you get burnt out on stress, yeah, definitely gonna show.
Mm-hmm. All right.
It's one thing to be cautious, but.
Fair enough, yeah. Knowing everything that's going on now with the virus and whenever it's going to be cured, if it's going to be cured, how do you think individuals, your community, and the government should move forward?
I think people should just what's a good way to sum it up? Just follow the basics of etiquette in these situations. I can really like the fact that I mentioned Asian countries before, Korea, Japan. They have low cases, even though they have, for example, Tokyo or Seoul, which are super cramped, because that's just what they do. They wear the mask and they contain their microbes and people don't get sick. They don't have the influenza pandemics we have here each year. Like, we have a lot of sick people every year because people will just go out, sneeze, not put their hands in front of their mouth or elbow or whatever. And people should really look to them for that. It is keeping clean in general. Just wash your hands. This isn't about the pandemic. It's just like basic hygiene that you should follow. If there's one good thing about masks is that I can't smell people's terrible breath anymore on the bus or metro. Jesus.
Yeah, how I guess, huh? I don't know how to ask that one. Yeah, all right. I was gonna ask though. You said like pandemic. Like, how often is there like a, even if it's not major, how often is there, I guess, like the flu season in Bulgaria?
Every year we get just pretty much everyone sick of flu, because no one's keeping safe and people are getting more and more unhealthy, and that reflects. You know, we have the standards of 21st century. We have obesity, we have alcoholism, which is traditional for our part of the world, and all of that combined, it makes susceptible to this. Mm-hmm. So people just get the flu every year. And of course, old people, sick people, people with compromised immune systems, they pay the price.
Mm-hmm. All right. I think, that wraps it up. So thank you very much for doing this. You will, again, remain anonymous, but we do really appreciate you giving us input from another part of the world.
Of course.
Thank you very much.
All right. Stay safe out there.
Thank you. You too.